We are getting back into God's Word here. So let's get back in John chapter 7. And so it's interesting that because of all that was going on, we have to remember that in chapter 6, they had actually stated here, and we have to look at verse 7, chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "After these things, Jesus walked into Galilee, for he would not walk into Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him." And looking at chapter 6, it just all started out with what, we're interested in, why are you doing these miracles? Well, why aren't you supposed to be the king that should deliver us? So what's going on? And then after a while, after they couldn't get what they wanted, they were out to kill him. They were out to kill him because they went against everything that they were taught. And yet, we looked at that last week. Remember, King Herod knew where Christ would be born. But he went to the scribes and the Pharisees and the church leaders, and they knew, and they could have found out for themselves, but they didn't want to. So we're looking here at that. Not only that, but you had the same people twist and misconstrue what was going on. So they didn't like Christ. They were out to kill him. 17 times in the book of John, they sought to kill Christ. Why? Because it went against everything. And today, you know, we look at people today and we think of Memorial Day. We think about for the reason why people died for our country. That's a good reason why. And of course, it's never a good thing to see people die, period. But there are people that are, who have sacrificed their lives for their country. That's different than someone going ahead and killing somebody being murdered. Thou shalt not kill, that has the idea of thou shalt not murder. There's nothing wrong with defending your country for that. So we look at Memorial Day and we're thankful for the soldiers that have gone before us, people who have died, even civilians for our country as well. So between John chapter 6 and John chapter 7, there's about 6 months space there. The other three gospels fill in a lot of what's going on. But we're looking at the incarnation of Christ with John's primary reason here, the Son of God. So there's 6 months, too, from this passage in John chapter 7 before Christ goes to the cross. And we think of today as a memorial thinking about what Christ had to do. Now, looking at the times that we live in, there's a right time to do something and a wrong time to do something. Christ was there in Galilee, and there's a reason why he stayed there. There are times today when we, today as people, like I know one good reason why I'm very thankful I'm not traveling this Memorial Day weekend, because I really don't want to be out in the road with all those people traveling. That's my biggest problem, is other drivers. I have to be careful what I do. On the other hand, Jesus, his time wasn't ready yet. He was waiting for the Father's time. Each one of us has a time appointed for everything in life under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun that God doesn't know about with us. But if we know one thing, he loves us, regardless of what circumstances we are in. How would we like to be the most 10 most wanted people on the FBI list? I don't think I would. But Jesus knew there were people out there who wanted to kill him. Why? Because he said that I am who I am. He is God in the flesh. They were not ready for it. I think in that Levitical priesthood, you've had 85 generations since it began 600 years ago. I don't think it would have changed anything. It was still corrupt, and there were a lot of problems with that Jewish priesthood at that time. Just like we have corruption today in politics, and there's a lot of it. You just look at the news. So, After these things here in verse 1, chapter 7, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk with the Jews because they sought to kill him. So it was from the time of Passover to the time of the Feast of Tabernacle, the Feast of the Booths. Now it's interesting here in verse 2, it says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And I explained it already up here front with the kids, and it's according to God spoke to Moses in Leviticus chapter 23. It was supposed to be a festival time. It was supposed to be a time for about 8 days, celebrating from the time of when they left Egypt to the time they went to the Promised Land. And so they would set up these booths or these tabernacles. And we see here that verse 3, his brethren. Now, this is talking about his family. You realize Jesus had brothers and sisters? He had four brothers, according to Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. He had James, Joseph. He had Judas, and he had Simon. Plus, he had sisters, too. Now, we know in our time that there are brothers and sisters that we know about that we may get along with and those who we don't get along with. Can you imagine having a brother who was Jesus, who was perfect in all ways? And we talk about sibling rivalry. Well, that's just the way it is. You know, can you imagine being with Jesus and he's perfect? You can't do anything wrong. And can you imagine, you know, with saying to yourself, well, I can't do it like he did. Well, do you realize that none of them, I mean, underline, none of them came to know the Lord till after he rose again? None of them. They didn't believe that he was God in the flesh. Remember Jesus said in the temple, he was an 8-year-old boy, and he says, I'm about my father's business. And they're probably scratching their heads thinking, who is this child? Children down here, I'm about here to do my father's business. Jesus is in the temple, and Jesus was answering their questions and asking questions in Matthew's gospel. Can you imagine what it'd be like meeting a little fellow like that? Just, it would be mind-boggling. But he was about to do his father's will, just like we are today. We're about here doing God's will. And so says here in verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go to Judea. Now, they were in Galilee. Remember where you have the Sea of Galilee, and the surrounding province is called Galilee. And then you have from the Sea of Galilee comes down to the Dead Sea, and what's down around that area is Judea. Well, apparently with the mindset, the way people thought was people up in Galilee weren't too smart. Okay, they're backhills people. I've met backhills people that are pretty smart, okay, compared to some of the people down below, as they, you know, they are much smarter than those people with letters behind their names and so on and so forth. And I guess you have to look for the good in everybody and understand everybody what kind of smarts they have. Well, they were saying, Jesus, why don't you go down to Jerusalem? We love you as a brother, and we care about you. And with all the miracles and all the things that you're doing and healings, why don't you just go down there and explain it to them? Because you are like what some people have said, what we have heard. We have never heard a man like this before. Never. Never heard a man like this before. So here they were. They were trying to give him some advice, good advice. And I am very sure that Jesus today understands our own families. Now, it's Memorial Day weekend, right? A lot of people are out there visiting families, having a good time, traveling, so on and so forth, right? But there's nothing better than being with family at times. Because when with our families, we have a time of of refuge, refreshment, and reflecting, you know. When we get around our family members, we can remember ourselves when we were younger. And we remember the way we used to think. And looking at them now and saying, wow, here we are years later. Look at you. Jesus understands that, but for some people today, they don't have that kind of refuge. They don't have that refreshing. They don't have that reflection. Some people are all alone. Some people have been ostracized. Some people have been told, oh, yeah, I've heard your Christianity before. I know who you are. Yeah, you weren't invited. You ever been on that side of the coin before? Haven't been invited to somebody's wedding, somebody you love, or a get-together? It hurts. It hurts. And so you think, well, Lord, I love them too. And you know what? Personally, being through that, you just get on with your life. You just put it behind you and you press on. That's all you can do. Because, you know, God loves you, right? And he loves you more than you could ever try to love or understand things around you. He gives you the grace and faith to go through it. And count yourself very blessed today if you have a family to go to instead of being ridiculed or made fun of. Okay? Be thankful for family. Jesus was very, I'm sure, thankful for his. Even though they said in John chapter 6, oh, wait a minute, you're of Joseph and Mary. Who are you, Jesus? They were trying to belittle him, trying to mock him, make fun of him, all because they didn't want to believe. That's all it was. It was a big smoke screen. And when we can see through those smoke screens, God blesses us. And we're free in Christ, and nothing can hurt us besides our own feelings. So it wasn't the right time to go down there. All the best. Sometimes people give us the whole hook and line deal there, and they're saying, hey, look, you need to, we know what's best for you. And you know deep down in your heart, no, it's not the best for me. It's not God's timing. But you know what? Eventually I can do that. Verse 4 says here that there is no man that doeth anything in secret. In other words, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, show thyself to the world. So they were trying to give Jesus good advice. But remember, Jesus was there for the spiritual meetings. Jesus was there for their spiritual good, not for the political. You know, down in Washington, they come up with all kinds of ideas. And down in Pennsylvania Avenue, they tried the best they can. And you're very fortunate if you can pass a bill or if you can get in through and actually change laws and do things like that. Jesus could have done many things, but it wasn't his timing yet. It's all about timing. He's following the divine timetable. So, see in verse 5, and neither did his brethren believe in him. You know, I look at Memorial Day. Yes, our soldiers did die. And yes, we were very thankful for the Arlington Cemetery. And I've had loved ones in my family die overseas being in battle. Some of you probably did too. But there's like something that's holy about it. And, you know, when I look at Arlington Cemetery, I see all the white crosses. There are thousands of them down in Virginia, and thousands of them. And all I can say is that that's symbolic of the cross, of what Christ did for you. That's my Memorial Day. Jesus dying for me spiritually. Okay? I could be up here telling you all kinds of stories about, you know, how our soldiers died. And you know what? I got all the respect for them. There's no greater love than a man laying down his life for somebody else. And there's people hurting even to this day, we know in family, that are still missing their loved ones. But you know, there's one way of knowing they're in heaven, and we're very thankful for that. And for those who didn't know Christ, well, that's between God and them. And I'm not going there. So Jesus said unto them, verse 6, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. You know, when we walk in God's will, there's a couple things we have to watch out for. One is His timing. And that's it. Also knowing, too, that, yes, now's the time to do it because the Holy Spirit taps us on the shoulder, so to speak, and tells us, yes, this is what you need to do. Number two, we have God's Word. We can read in God's Word and understand this is the right timing. Wow, look at this. This is what I've been looking for. God's going to give me some peace that I know I'm going to go through a big trial or tribulation coming up. Some of us today are going through this time. It's like a Memorial Day to us, or a Memorial Week, or month, or year. We're going through some terrific trials. And you know what? God gives us perfect peace and rest in His Word. And number three, we have one another. We have one another to pray for, that we're there for one another. We love one another. Because there's so many things in this world that can go wrong, you know. So verse 7 says, and the world hates you, but it hateth me because the world cannot hate you. Because, yes, they were their disciples at the time, but they had not totally sold out to Christ. They weren't ready yet to get the total backlash, as it was, or the whip of the world. But he that hateth, but me it hateth, excuse me, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. You know, if Jesus were here today, I think the world would hate him. And you know why? Because we have the Word of God, we're Christians, and anything that gets in the world's way, the world hates. You bring up Jesus at today's universities and the woke philosophy that's going around. You know why we have all this wokeism? My pastor told me this years ago when I told him about Jerry Falwell. And I remember, the great revival going on in the early 80s. He looked at me and he says, we're done as a country. And I stopped, looked at him, I said, I don't understand. He goes, with our leaders, he says, when the devil goes after them first, he says, we lost it a long time ago. He said, you know, what happens now, we have woke philosophy in today and all these things that's going on. You know, the lady who's in charge of the public library school system is 100% Marxist, 100% lesbian. You're wondering, in a while, all these people get into these top-notch places. Because there's a spiritual vacuum. And we experienced it years ago, didn't we, as Christians? We were like, how long can this keep on going on, Lord? This country is getting out of hand. And it's only going to get worse and worse until, you know, people turn back to Him. Don't ever, you know, we can never be ashamed. But our universities have turned that way, our news organizations. Hollywood, one actor said recently, he says, you know what? And he's not a Christian at all. His name is Johnny Depp. You know, he's one of these actors. He goes, you know what these Hollywood people say? And he goes, I don't claim to be Christian, but there's two words or so. He says, hate God. Hate God. That's their bottom line. They want to act and pretend. They're all actors. They're not stars, you know. They're pretenders. But they're good pretenders, and people fall in love with them, you know, and people, you know, have nothing else better to do. It's ridiculous, okay? Why people don't fall in love with the Savior, I'll never know. But it says in John that God draws, the Father draws His people to Him. And it's just like the apostate, like I said last week. They take a bite of the gospel, they taste it, and they spit it out. That's what an apostate said. It does. They taste it and they spit it out because it's not good enough for me. I know better. I'm my own God. And so that's, they're going after the old lie in the garden. It'd be like gods, knowing both good and evil. Well, you know, I'm glad that we have a Savior. So Jesus is saying, hey, the world hates me. We know if Jesus was here today, we would hate him too today. It says verse 7, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of the works that are evil. Go ye now up into the feast. And I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not full. In other words, he's saying my time's not ready. I remember in Alaska, we used to fish for salmon. There were places where you could fish and places where you couldn't. And you'd have streams that these fish could go up to over there for 3 years. Boy, did salmon ever taste good. But you never wanted to eat a dead salmon. You don't want to do that. And I remember going up to these streams where they would spawn. They would come up there in the fall time, and they would swim upstream, and they would do their spawning. They would lay their eggs, and they would die. Well, you know, this illustration is true. You'd find the dead salmon there. Well, life is like that. Life is like, for the living, they have to work their way up. Stream. Okay? For the dead, they don't have to do anything. The world doesn't have to do anything. Countless people I see out there with their children today don't even go to church anymore. You realize how the Catholic religion, by the way, they're struggling with their leadership because they have no backbone against this wokeism. 25% of people claim to be Catholics go to church. The other 75 pretend. They have labels on them. So don't let it fool you. You know, see these big churches, and you know, a lot of them are empty. A lot of them were, it used to be. You know, remember in the good old days. Well, you know what? I don't believe in that. I believe we have the good old days here when we can fill our churches with Bible-believing Christians today. And as far as I'm concerned, and I don't get popular with this, but I believe Catholicism is a cult. I do. Because it believes in a worked salvation. Mark my word. If nothing's changed in over the 40 years of my salvation, it still believes in that. Now, this has added on with the woke narrative. And they've gotten themselves in all kinds of trouble. Now the parents are mad at them. Because what are you doing with my children? And why are these schools, and by the way, with the China, they're doing the same thing with the Cultural Revolution with Mao. They started with the children. What are they doing in these classrooms? It's not bad in Econowoc. Econowoc's holding its own. And I'm very thankful for the superintendent and principals there. But they start with the children, and they want the teachers to teach the children only. And they're getting more pushy about it. It's amazing. A little percent of, and they're doing the same thing that happened in communist China back in the 40s. They're going after the children first. And that's how they start, you know. And so we need to be praying for our children. And thank God for moms and dads bring their children out. So Jesus and his brothers and sisters are there. It says, go up into the feast. I go not up into the feast, for my time is not yet filled to come. When he had said these words there to them, he abode in Galilee. So it was time not to go, and they couldn't understand it. When we go against the tide or go against the stream in life, remember, we're going to be bucking the tide, so to speak. We're going to struggle. It's going to cost us something going out there. But remember, Jesus understands that too. Verse 10, and now we see it's time for the right time. Verse 10 says, but when his brethren were gone up, in other words, they went to Judea, to the feast of the booths. And just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean that we have to do it today too. There's times when we have to stay home and stay put. We don't have to go with the crowd. I'm sure we've lived more than one life. You know, some of us are sitting here, you know, what I've gone through in life, I've lived five lives, you know. I feel like a cat that can never, you know, die or something like that. It says, but when the brethren were gone up, and then went he also up into the feast, not openly, but as they were in secret. You know why they were in fear when the brothers and sisters, Jesus' brothers and sisters, half-brothers and sisters went down there, actually, is because they were afraid of being excluded from the synagogue. You're going with this cult leader named Jesus? He used to call, Jesus' followers were like a cult back in those days. You could be exorcised from the synagogue. You're not allowed to come here anymore because you're one of these followers. Number two, the family could just go ahead and say, you're not part of the family anymore. You're not, and that's happened to Jewish Christians. Number three, they could tell you, oh, sorry, we don't have work for you today. And then number four, they could use money as a weapon. Money as a weapon. Oh, we can't help you anymore. I have no money now. What am I going to do? Well, it's just too bad. You're following Jesus. Hey, day's coming. Could happen. It's happened in other countries overseas. They take away these things. And, freedom is never for free. Freedom is always with a price. And we have to keep on fighting and going down that straight and narrow and giving it all to the Lord. So, verse 11 says, and the Jews sought him at the feast and said, where is he? I've learned this. It's not good to be around the ungodly. And I know we all had to work around the ungodly. And even yours truly, I still get around the ungodly because Jesus says, go out in the highways and byways of life and compel them to come in. Psalms 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That means somebody who's despicable, worthless, and full of contempt. Get around the ungodly, and that's the way they can be. And there are some, fairly good, ungodly people that morally are okay. But delight is in the law of the Lord, and the law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, and bringing forth the fruit of the season. The leaf also shall not wither, whatsoever he does shall prosper. Isn't that wonderful? Even though it's very dry out there, you walk on the grass out there right now, it feels like you're walking on dry rice. It's just crunch, crunch, crunch. It's very dry out there. But God waters us. God gives us that safety, that river that refreshes us. Nothing better than a ice cold glass of water going down. You can feel it going down. That's how refreshing it is. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff of the wind that driveth away. It just dries up and blows away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteousness. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteousness, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So Jesus knew this. Eventually they would perish. There's a new thought out today called the New Atheism. New Atheism says, hey, don't talk about Jesus, don't write about Jesus, don't think about Jesus. That's what New Atheism is today. This is the old thing already repackaged. But they want you to shut up. They don't want you to talk. And we see that today in the news today. People want us to just to be quiet. Don't talk. You're out of line. Oh, I have every right. No, you don't. Well, you know what? You're going against my constitutional rights. Oh, that Constitution, we want to do away with it. Why? Because it's based on the Bible. That's all it is. They want to they have a new religion. It's called the woke way. And I call it the hell's way. So the Jews were looking for him. They were saying, where is Jesus now? And I hope to God that we are not like that, which I know that we're not, knowing you all for almost 2 years now. But I tell you what, the devil would love just to shut us all up and not say anything and just keep to ourselves. But you can't keep a good thing down. You got to say it like it is. The fear of the Lord frees us from the fear of man. Be intimidated by people. We can overcome fear. We do that. I'm sure we all here have witnessed at one time. And you know, once we start witnessing, we can't shut up, right? You know, we just start telling people about the Lord, and it's just like the flood gates break open. And we're just gushing out with love. We're telling people about Christ. And it's so simple that a child could understand. But when God's love is turned, that valve is turned all the way open, there's nothing stopping it. It's usually getting through that first step trying to witness to people. That's the hardest part. And we stumble and we fall over with the right kinds of words to say. But, you know, once it starts going, it just gushes out. It flows like a river. And there was much murmuring amongst the people in verse 12 concerning him. And some said, he is a good man. And others say, nay, but he deceiveth people. They actually had Jesus. In other words, another word for this is deceiving people. Oh, he's nothing but a magician. He's a magician. And, you know, he's just doing all these things. Remember, with Moses and Pharaoh, with the magicians, with the snakes and the rod. Oh, he's just like him. I don't think it would be any different today. I think with all the different things that are going on with the media, how people twist things and turn things around, it's no different. And so, says here too as well, but you know, some people say he's just a good man. We'll just call this being a Gnostic. Gnostic means someone who believes in a God, who believes God, but you can come to him any way that you want. It's just like with the woke philosophy today, you know, that's their God. You know, they think, well, God, okay, you can come any way, which way you want. And I tell you what, there is more human philosophy, more damning things out there today. And there is more things trying to sift through the rubble, so to speak, to find the truth. You can't find it in the news today. You have to look through many different sources. But thank God we have Jesus. So, says here, how about no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews? But Jesus today, he is who he is. Regardless of how people try to cover up things today, he is our assurance and security. He is the authority over life. He is the bread of life. He is the coming king. He is the creative power of the universe. He is the deliverer from fear. He is the door. He is the embodiment of God. He is the glorified Son of Man. He is our intercessor. He is the great minister. He is the light of life. He's living water. He's the mediator. He's the object of our faith. And the list goes on. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There are many ways here that he is who he is. But they were still afraid of him. How people can go against the tide? Well, I tell you what, there's one word. It's unbelief. People don't want to hear it. It's amazing how you look at Memorial Day today, and you look at all the crosses out there in Arlington Cemetery, and you look at, and there are people who don't understand why. It's sad when children today don't understand what Memorial Day is because they want to change our history. They want to tear down the statues. I'm not forgetting what happened a few years ago. I'm not going to forget about that for a minute. And, you know, it makes me a little bit angry. Be angry and sin not. I got that. But this is God saying to us, those people, they fought and they died for our freedom. What they want to do is tell a lie and say, children, that's not what really happened. I tell you what, if moms and dads saw what they were teaching in classrooms, oh, they would take them right out. And they would go right to the principal, and they would go right to the superintendent if they had to, or the board. What these people are doing today is just appalling. So looking at all those crosses, thousands and thousands out there, those men who died for us, there's that one cross that's in my mind, and that's the cross of Christ. gave me the ultimate freedom. And I'm very thankful for the freedom we have in our country, because once communism comes in, because wokeism is just another name for communism, that there won't be freedom. Things will change. Things that we have today won't be for our children's children. And as I'm wrapping up here, we want to continue to do the Lord's will. So he is who he says he is. And at this time, let us just focus on the cross. And the cross means, Lord, let me be crucified daily with you. Let me give my life to you, what you want me to do. And Lord, no compromises, nothing like that, but just give it all to you. And he's still working on us, because there's nobody perfect here today. We all want to build a memorial to ourselves, to him. When we're gone, and people will remember us, I believe, what Christ has done in us. That should be our memorial today. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you that we can follow your divine timetable. We thank you, God, for there is a right time and there is a wrong time to do things. We just thank you for the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths, so that families, they can remember for years what it was like when they were delivered from Egypt, the time that they went to the Promised Land. And Lord, you have delivered us spiritually from the things of this world, because Egypt is a picture of the world and all the bad things with it. But yet you do have a promised land for us. You do have a heaven. And as this time, as we're here on this late great planet Earth, Lord, we know that you're coming back soon. We're excited. We thank you that we are living testimonies. We're living tabernacles. Our bodies as living sacrifices unto you. We thank you, Lord, that you chose your Father's time to go down into Judea. You weren't following the crowds. We're not here to be, we are not crowd pleasers here today. We're Jesus pleasers. And thank you for the riches and the fullness of your testimony in us, Lord. And we thank you for this time we have. Help us to overcome this new atheism, Lord, that teaches us that, Lord, you know, don't talk about Jesus, don't write about Jesus, don't live about Jesus, Lord. We have something far, far better. And we thank you that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power unto salvation unto man. Lord, we thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, God, that you know all that there is about us. We thank you again that you love us so much. If there's somebody online, somebody here who doesn't know you as Savior, that they come, Lord, and ask them into your life. And it's by faith we believe these things. And pray that we'll all continue to have changing lives to be more like you. We thank you that you love us. You're a great high priest, great counselor, high counselor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.